Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier and happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of Plan Simple Meals. So here at Plan Simple Meals, we do so much work around what we eat and really making the space to get to the dinner table. And the next step, once we've gotten to the dinner table with some somewhat healthy food, is really what happens when we're sitting there. So I am really excited to have a guest today whose life work is around just that, what to do once we're at the dinner table. Danielle Reed is a teacher, certified life coach, professional speaker, certified Daring Way and Rising Strong facilitator, the owner of Coach on the Go, and co-owner of Fit and Fierce, a program to empower young girls. Danielle helps people find their path to living an authentic, wholehearted life. And at the end of the day, being a mom is her greatest accomplishment and commitment. And ladies, wait until you hear how her work has empowered her two boys. It's quite amazing. So let's get her on the show. Welcome, Danielle. We're so excited to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's dive in. So I met Danielle at a live event where she was a speaker, and I was there meeting all these incredible people. And I had flown from Boston to what I thought was the other end of the world, in Canada, in the western part. It felt very far from home because I had to take like four planes to get there. And she just gave this amazing talk, and I'm going to ask her later about her product too, because what I really noticed was this product that was at the middle of everyone's table. So she just shared her amazing story. So first, will you explain a little bit about your background and how you got into all this? Your bio, you do so much. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, no, for sure. When I was, I used to teach, and I was a teacher for about 17 years, and I'm always working with youth, and I felt that in the classroom, I was constantly drawn to helping these young kids find their path and figure out what mattered to them and how to navigate sort of struggle in life. And so after 17 years of teaching, I just decided to make a change and trust that passion. And I guess having my own kids, part of my story was that I got caught up a little bit in the hamster wheel of life, I say, where I just started existing with little intention, like, you know, get up, race the kids through breakfast, get in the car, get them to school, off to work, pick them up, off to hockey, dinner kind of sometimes at the table, sometimes not, into bed, exhausted, and wake up and start it all over again. And I remember one time reading a quote by Brené Brown that asked, "Are you the adult you want your kids to grow up to be?" And when I read that quote, I sat with it, and I mean, it brought tears to my eyes because I thought, I really don't want my kids to think that life has to be sort of this hamster wheel life, that you can live with so much more fulfillment and happiness and intention than just existing through days. And, you know, I saw lots of kids in the school who did the same thing as I was doing. And I think we are the example and we have to do that. So for me, I left teaching and I went and did my coaching course. And then I went to Texas to learn from Brené Brown about the Daring Way and Rising Strong. And all the pieces came together. And the one that stuck out strongest for me was values. Every course I seemed to take, people said you need a very clear sense of your values as you navigate life. And as I started kind of digging into what does it mean to have values, I think we grew up with a much different sense of, you know, everybody in our family has values. But to actually sit down and say, what are my values? What are my kids' values? What are my husband's values? How do we live in alignment with that? And so I just started to do that my own work with with the values and noticed a huge shift in my life from the hamster wheel to total intention and fulfillment, not perfection. Trust me, there's days when it's still hard to do, but for the most part, it was like a whole new me. And so I did the work with my family and it transformed everything that happened in our house, how I saw my kids, what their passions were, the conversations we had at the dinner table. And so today, most of my work is speaking and running workshops to speak of values and numerous other topics, but values is really the one that I feel has the most power to help people say sort of, who am I and what matters to me and how do I start living in alignment with that so I can have this more happy, fulfilling type of life.
I love that. And you started with you first, right? So you had to do the work.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, which is what we do a lot with food as well. So you did this work. And then what did that look like when you brought it to your family? Like, what did that, you know, what did that practice look like? How did you first tell them that you were going to dive into this as a family?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think like anything, right? It's always easy to tackle it yourself because it's your commitment.
Yeah.
And then I think it's like, the eating, right? Like, okay, now we're all going to do this. And so I remember one day just saying to my youngest son, hey, come sit at the table with me. I want to have this conversation with you. And so I started asking him things about, you know, what were some of his best days and what happened in his best days and what were things that frustrated him? Because in all those moments, we can pull out our values. When we're having great days, our values are present. When we're having days that are frustrating or we have that pit in the stomach kind of feeling, our values are not being honored. And so I just started asking him questions and we started talking. And truly at the time he was 6 years old and I had a thought in my head, is he going to be too young to really get this? And I'll tell you, I was blown away. Never assume that someone in your home is not prepared to answer the questions and give you the true look at who they are and what's important to them. And so I did this conversation with him and all of a sudden we started talking about value words and he was like, yes. And you could just tell when someone's eyes light up, when you've really hit a value that is important. And so him and I sat and came up with his top 10 values. And then my older son came over and he was curious. So he's like, what are you guys doing? So he sat down and we went through the same process. And the two of them started talking and sort of seeing what do we have in common and what's different? And, oh, maybe that's why we fight about that. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is so powerful. And so my husband came home that night and truly I did wonder, like, is he going to be game for this too? And he walked in the door. My youngest son said to him, Dad, you have to come to the table and do this really cool thing with Mom. And I mean, I didn't even pay him to do that, trust me. But he said that. And my husband said, what is it? And he sat down. And as he ate supper, I asked him the same questions I was asking the kids. And all of a sudden, he was talking about what was most important to him and what mattered. And then the kids were listening. And then we had this great conversation. And from there, it just... I mean, that night sitting there listening to how much more we connected at our table because of that conversation just inspired me to take that language. I actually painted a wall in our kitchen that's called What Matters, and there are four corkboards on it. And on each corkboard are each of our top 10 value words. And we have conversations around our dinner table all the time about which value did you most honor today? Were there any values that got stomped on? And if there are, the kids will say, you know, like, so what happened? And we'll talk about the story. It goes to a much different place than the old conversations we used to have, which was, how was your day? Good. Yeah, to this place where I get so much insight into what's happening in their day, what's lighting them up, what's not working, just from the simple question of which value did you most live today? Which one did you not? How come? How can we be more intentioned tomorrow? And from there, it just skyrocketed into way more powerful conversations. And that's kind of where we continue to, you know, our discussions continue to be around our table each day.
That's amazing. And it's funny because we had I do some work with values as well. And I'll never forget the time when it was always this like point of contention between my husband and I, that I am so well-meaning about the environment, but every once in a while, like the banana peel made it in the trash instead of the compost. Like it wasn't on purpose. It was just a busy day. And that's what happened. And I'll never forget the time when I realized that this idea of conserving the environment was such a strong value for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't like, I just hadn't been brought up with that, right? So it wasn't, to me, it was more about like this nitpicking of the banana peel in the trash. And I couldn't understand why anything could be so important. But I realized that like everything he does is around that value. He takes the bus to work, which is a pain in the butt, instead of, you know, driving, or he rides his bike when it's good weather. And his whole life is around this value. And the second I could see that that was his value, like, I can't say that I always get the banana peel into the compost, but I try. And when I don't feel offended. You know what I mean? So it's so interesting how those values can really shape our interactions with each other.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. My husband has a value of spontaneity, and I have a value of organization. And so you can only imagine what that's like. So he may come home on a beautiful Friday in the summer and say, I think we should go camping today. And I'm like today? You want to leave today?
Yeah.
Because I don't have food ready. I don't have the trailer cleaned. I don't have this. But I have to recognize that this is not about me living my values and having everybody live my values. This is about me living mine, but giving everybody around me permission to do the same. So I have to say, yes, I want organization, but I can't diminish his need for spontaneity. So I'll say, that seems like a really difficult task for me who needs this to be organized by the time we leave. And he said, you know what? Let's divvy it up. How about the boys will load up the bikes. You go clean the trailer. Give me the grocery list. I'll get the groceries and we leave at 5. And so in that moment, there's so much beauty because we don't have to argue and have conflict and me say, we're not going and get my way. And him saying, we're going to stop being so difficult and have his way. It's like we can find this like really great way to both honor what we need, but both honor what each other needs. And I find the same thing with my boys. You know, when they have an argument about something, quite often I'll say, I just want you guys to go look at your value boards, look at each other's and tell me what's happening here. And right away they can pick which two values are colliding. And rather than, you know, my youngest son has being active as a value, my older son has solitude and relaxation as a value. So when my younger son wants to go outside and hit baseballs and my older son's saying, I don't want to, I want to lay on the couch for a bit, they get in this conflict and I say, okay, how can that exist together? So they agree upon, okay, you lay on the couch and watch a show for half an hour, then will you come out play baseball with me? Sure. And it's like we have so much unnecessary conflict in our world if we just really saw each other from the place of what matters and honored that in each other.
I love that. So important. And then, so what happens? So when everybody honors each other's values, so if everybody has their own 10, what happens to this notion of a family's values? Is that just the putting together of everyone's individual values, or is there something overarching that as parents maybe we're instilling in our kids?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Like growing up, I think in my home, there was definitely the overarching idea that we are all going to be respectful and we're going to be hardworking and, you know, these types of values. And I don't take that away. I think there's still this idea, I want my kids to be those things too. But if I just have this overarching idea that we're all the same, I'm missing the best parts about the people that are in my house. And when I look at each of our value boards individually, there's only one value we all share the same, which is humor, which makes for a funny house. But we have very different values. And I think if I would have bought into this idea that we're just like, we just have a set for all of us, I would have missed the best parts of my kids and the best part of my husband. And I would have held them to expectations that may have been more mine than theirs. And so when I look at their value board, like I grew up super athletic, played sports, really competitive. My boys don't have anything on their value board that indicate that they have that part of me in them. But I could have very easily been like, you know, signing you up for this, signing you up for that. What I look at is like my older son has fairness and making a difference and leadership and words like that in his value list. And he wants the opportunity to make a difference in the world. He doesn't want to be the athlete. So I think if we have this overarching idea of what family value should be. That's great. But underneath it, I think you better be looking for what are the 10 values of each person as an individual, so that you can really truly see who they are.
Yeah. I love that example about sports, because I have 3 kids and made a pretty concerted effort not to do too much after school. Like, that was really part of my value system, was just to keep things simple. Mm-hmm. But for 2 of my kids, that this is like the best thing that could probably ever happen to them, because they're very much introverts and they need that quiet time. And the fact that I can help them with that, create that space for them, it has been huge. But my middle daughter is not like that. It's like she would do 100 things and thrive at them. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that not everybody has to be the same, because so often I hear like the rule is you can do 2, everybody can do 2 things, but like everybody might not want to do 2 things.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's such a great example of how that sort of plays out.
Yeah, you really, honestly, for me, it's about like starting with me. I got to live my values and ask for what I need so I can stay on my own path. But I have to really look and understand people around me so that I can give them permission to do the very same thing. I mean, I don't want people yanking me off my path and telling me I have to go play sports if I don't have any of that as my values. And I can tell you, my older son, I mean, I signed him up for things when he was young, and he was sort of like, after a game, I'm talking sports, and he's like, can we go get a cheeseburger at, and he had no interest really in the sports like I did. And then when I did the values work with him, I could so clearly see. I think sometimes we see in our kids what we want to see, but when you do the values work, you really see from their heart what really matters to them.
Yeah. So tell us, what's an easy way to like step into the value? I mean, so it sounds amazing. Like, you have this wall, like everyone's done it. You did a lot of pre-work yourself before you put this on your kids. So for someone who hasn't done all that pre-work but just wants to create this kind of, you know, vibe in our house, what small steps can we take?
Yeah, so I would say absolutely. I would start with doing it for yourself first, and I'll tell you a couple ways to do that. And then just slowly getting your family. And like I said earlier, do not count anyone out. Like, I thought my husband might be challenging to get to buy into this language. He, like, 2 nights after we had done, put the values boards up on the wall, I was working and came home to his board with pictures on it. Like, he went on the computer to find pictures that went with his words. And I was just shocked, but so like just taken back by what a great example that was to my kids, that he really sees the value in this. He understands that when you live your values, you're happiest. When you don't, you feel kind of that blah, unfulfilled, maybe anxious, depressed feeling. So the 2 ways that you can absolutely dig into your values and figure out what your top 10 are, I will just first say, try to avoid going to just a list of value words. Lots of people want to just go to the computer, print off a list, pick their words from there, and call it a day. Mm-hmm. Our ego will really get involved and tell us what we should pick if we just go to a blank list. So I would say one way is to sit down and just think about a day recently where you had one of those great days, where you went to bed with a smile on your face, where you thought, like, gosh, this was an awesome day, and jot down the details of what happened in that day. And these are not Mount Kilimanjaro climbing moments. These are simple things. For me, it's going to the gym, having coffee with a friend, getting my dinner in the crock pot. You know, like, they are just a day when I finish it and go, oh, I feel so happy with today. So you jot down the details of that awesome day, and from there you can pull out the values. So I go to the gym to start my day. That's my value of health. I have coffee with a friend. That's about connection and authenticity. And I, you know, getting dinner in the crock pot or dinner prepped early, it's about organization and about balance. And so you just kind of pull from your great day some of the details that say, I think this might be a value to me. And I promise you, as soon as you start pulling them, and then you know, a week later, you're like, gosh, today was really great. Just stop in those moments, say, what's happening right now? What happened today that made this day so great? There's a value in that. And all of a sudden you start building this list and start noticing overlaps. Last week, you know, was a great day and this word was there. Today, a great day, there's the word again. And then the second way you could do it is by kind of jotting down a list of things that frustrate you, make you angry, just kind of make you feel ugh. And now, big disclaimer here, when you're talking with kids, you don't want to make a list of people that make you angry, like my brother, my sister. Yeah. You want to make it situations. So you take a situation, you say, this situation frustrates me. And then you say, I don't want that. What's the flip of it? What did I want in that moment? So if you're somebody who, you know, had a conversation with somebody where you really felt dismissed and not understood and whatever, and it left you in a bad mood, the flip of that could be that your value is understanding or you value respect. So you just take that not so great moment and you flip it. And again, these are things that happen throughout our day all the time. We're like, oh, that was so awesome what I just did. Just go, what did I just do? What's the value in that? Just as quickly as you find those not so great days, we're like, oh gosh, I'm in a bad mood. Oh, what interesting. What happened? What are the values that maybe I'm not honoring or someone around me is not honoring? And you find your list. And so you just start playing around and building this list. And just, I would say at the start, just allow those words to kind of flow, jot down a list. It doesn't matter if there's 50 on the list to start. You just start a list of which values seem to be really important to you, and then play around with it. Notice your day and give yourself some time to sort of play around with them until you get your top 10. And for some people, that's a really fast process. Some people can do it in a couple of hours at one of my workshops. Some people, it takes them months to really get connected. And I would say, don't have an expectation of how long it takes you to find your values. Because you want them to really resonate. You want to read that word and feel your heart say, gosh, that matters to me. And that's when you know that you've got one that's really true to you.
And so since you did this work some time ago, do you find that you revisit that list and change it? Or do you find that once you really find your core values, those are your values?
Yeah, I would say, you know, with like our younger kids, with less exposure and less language, yeah, theirs are probably going to have a bit of a shift. For me, I would say as an adult, no. In fact, when I look back even 10 years ago to times that were not great times in my life, and I look at my value list now, it's so clear why that was not a great time. So I would say the only thing for me, I do revisit them, but the only thing that really has shifted for me is how specific I am. So for a long time, I had the word respect. And all of a sudden, about 6 months ago, I thought, I don't think it's respect. I think it could be understanding. And so those little, you know, there's a very common thread with those, but I just get more specific about the word. But every time I revisit them, I end up with the same list. And my older son, who's 15 now, so he would have been 9 when I first did the work with him. And then I went into his classroom and did the work with his whole class. And then when I developed the values cards, I did the work with him, you know, playing around with the cards. And his list had little changes, but for the most part, it stayed pretty much the same.
That's cool. So do tell us a little bit about the cards, because the cards aren't necessarily about your values, right? It's more about having conversations about values.
It's about your own, like it's a way to find your own values, but a way to have conversations with the people in your house about values. So when I used to go do speaking, you know, talk to different groups of people always would come to me at the end and say, can you just come to my kitchen and sit at our kitchen table and just help us find the values? Because you make it sound so easy when you talk about it. And of course, at the beginning, I was thinking, maybe I could. Yeah, not realistic. So that question came up over and over. And I realized people really want this work. They really want to have these kinds of conversations with their family, with the people that matter in their life, at the dinner table. And so I developed a set of cards that are called What Matters, Powerful Conversations for the Dinner Table and on the Go. And there's 85 cards and an instruction package in it. And each card has a different value word on it. And so the value words at the top, they're synonyms for it, because you might not love the word that's up there, but you might prefer one of the synonyms to it. There's the definition of what that word means. And then there's two questions at the bottom of each card that really help for you to identify, is this one that is in my top 10? And so with my family, you know, we kind of just went through it, put them all out on the table, and everybody started picking their words. Some people will just sit by themselves and just go through the cards and kind of a yes, no pile, and then start whittling it down to their top 10 that way. But I can tell you something that's really cool is sitting at your dinner table, even if you just pick a handful of 10 and you go through them and you just start talking about certain values and hear each other's perspective on that and get to see, does this value really matter to me? Does it matter to my boys? Does it matter to my husband? Interesting to hear different people's perspective on it. So the cards are for great conversations, but they are absolutely a tool for you to be able to determine what are your values in your top 10.
And you guys, the cards are beautiful. So I highly recommend, and we'll give Danielle an opportunity at the end to share where we can get them, but they are amazing. So I love them. Cool. So, and then I have one final question at the end, but I have to say something that I didn't know about you sort of piqued my curiosity in your bio, which was your program about empowering young girls. Mm-hmm. So two of my three are girls, and I find that it's such an interesting time to raise girls, and I'm sure it always has been, but, you know, here I am a mother.
Yeah.
So is there anything specific on this and that you have, any little tidbit that you love to share for parents of girls?
I agree with you. I think it's a really hard, well, I work with girls. I can say it's difficult for boys and girls, but with the girls specifically, there's just so much difficulty in navigating this world and this need to fit in and social media and all of these things. And so in my Fit and Fierce girls groups, we really start with the values at the very beginning of the year. We work with them over the course of the entire school year. So that's awesome. September to June, we have the same girls. And when they come to us, we talk about values. And every topic month to month just connects back to values. When we talk about friendships, we're talking about which are your friends that allow you to live your values and be who you are. And what are the situations that are kind of pulling you off the path of living your values? You know, I consider our path of living our values the path. And then when you're in the act, which is you're being someone else, you're trying to fit in, you're doing what everybody else seems to want you to do. And that language really resonates with the kids. And when they pick their top 10 values in September, and we continue to come back to that, I will have kids in our opening circle each evening who will say, you know, this week I felt really pulled off my path and I don't really know how to handle this situation or that. And we talk it through. But I would say helping your girls figure out what matters and then giving them the strength to say, I need to find friends who truly see me, who really get what's important to me, who aren't trying to pull me to make me like them. They are just honoring me for me. And I say, when you walk away from, you know, hanging out with one friend, if you feel good and you feel like you are yourself and that you've stayed truly on that path, then those are the right people. And here we are in heading into March. And I can tell you every month we come back to the values. We reconnect with them no matter what topic. We seem to be talking about anxiety, conflict, trust, friendships. It all comes back to what are your values? Are the people around you allowing you to live on that path or not?
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny because this is like the biggest gender generalization I could possibly make out loud. I just have three kids. But it's so interesting to watch because I have one very strong-willed and like very grounded girl and one who's a little bit more, you know, flirty and typical girl, but both of them are so much easier pulled off, and they're young, you know, they're not teens at all. They're 7 and 10, but it's just so interesting to watch like the class dynamic and how much easier it is for girls to sort of be pulled out of their values, even, you know, having not defined them than boys are. It's so interesting to watch. And I'm a huge believer that family dinner can really work to shift that, especially when we start getting these kind of conversations that really, you know, help us figure out what matters to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some of these girls, like, you just have to have honest conversations with them. I just constantly am saying, you know, what does it mean for you to be really yourself? And are you honoring that too? Because it's easy to say, you know, it's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's. Last night, my girls group, we talked in Fit and Fierce, we talked about trust and just saying which element of the seven elements of trust are you best at? And are there ones that you need to get better at? And, you know, all of those kinds of conversations, I think we need to hold our kids accountable and talk about them, about how they're showing up, as well as, you know, who around you maybe isn't
doing
things, but like, what kind of person are you being? And I really truly believe that starts with the language of your values. Are you staying on that path? And for a lot of our kids, we say to them, you need to get back on track. But we haven't told them what the track is. And the track to me is their values. And so when we're saying, get back on track, get, you know, pull your socks up, these things, they're like, nodding their head thinking, I don't have a clue really what that looks like, that means. And so when we say, here's your top 10 values, that's your path. You can connect every day. I talk to my kids every day and say, were you on the path today? Were you, you know, like, did you live in alignment with those? Did you not? And I think that's super powerful as we raise kids to have their own accountability for how they're showing up as well.
I love that. I'm imagining how many times we all say that to our kids about getting back on track. So I love that analogy of, you know, that your values really are your track and you actually have to define what your track is, because who else, how will we know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. So, thank you so much for all of this. And I have one final question. But before I get to that, I just want you to tell everybody how they can reach you and stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. My website is www.coachonthego.net. And on that page, there is the option to purchase and have the cards mailed to you if you're interested in a set of the What Matters cards for your dinner table. And I would love to hear feedback and hear how people are taking this language and this work and transforming their families. I get really cool people sending me pictures of their own values walls that they've made in their kitchen or the conversations they've had. And I think we just need to start this one family at a time, and it's going to have a huge impact.
Yeah, I love that. And I highly encourage everyone to go check out Danielle's website. And Danielle, I will tell you, because I feel inspired to have a conversation in our big group of healthy moms at the Healthy Moms Meetup. And so maybe we'll start a little bit of a values conversation over there. And keep each other motivated to do this work.
Awesome.
So my final question is around a meal. And what I find is that meals just are such a source of memories for us. So is there one meal in your life that stands out, either the food you were eating, the company you were with, you know, an aha you had while you were at the table? And it could be when you were a child, or it could be, you know, yesterday as a mom. Is there something that sticks out in your head as a meal that made an impact in your life?
I think probably for me, the meal that has had the biggest impact was when I was younger growing up, when the aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody would come together. We would always have two tables. There wasn't enough room to have everybody at the same table, but it was close enough you could hear each other. But we would have the kids' table and the adults' table. And I had this really cool aunt and uncle who would like break the rules and every time say, no, we're coming to the kids' table. And I just remember it being a table filled with laughter, filled with cool conversations. There were no cell phones, there was no technology. You know, it was just amazing, incredible conversations with people that made you laugh and asked you questions and really cared about you. And I guess, you know, just as you asked me that, I really hadn't thought of that question before, but I have always been like really inspired by sitting around a table and feeling really connected with people. And I guess that's why I believe so strongly in this work of values and conversations at your table.
Yeah, you've created a whole business around it. It's fabulous. Yeah. We're glad you had that experience when you were younger.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Danielle, for being on this podcast with us. We're all very grateful for your time. And for all the moms out there, just stay on this path, one doable change at a time, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.